The United States is buying another half billion doses of Pfizer to donate to low and middle income countries around the world.
Slow vaccine distribution. It's Monday, October 4th. This is VOA Asia. I'm Jim Stevenson in Washington. Find us at VOA Asia Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and YouTube. Also ahead, built-in phone censorship. Taliban seek China's help. Bringing the past to life. It's all on today's VOA Asia. The United States is the global leader in vaccine donations, pledging to send 1.1 billion doses to help the world fight the COVID-19 pandemic. But it has shipped only 15% of the doses it has promised. From the White House, Patsy Whitaker-Swara explains.
For every shot given domestically, the United States will send three shots abroad. That's the pledge President Joe Biden made to help vaccinate the world.
The United States is buying another half billion doses of Pfizer to donate to low and middle-income countries around the world. This is another half billion doses that will all be shipped by this time next year. And it brings our total commitment of donated vaccines to over 1.1 billion vaccines to be donated.
Of the 1.1 billion doses the U.S. has promised, the State Department said about 172 million have been shipped, or about 15%. The White House said 200 million more doses will go out by the end of 2021, and the remaining 800 million will be sent out by September 2022.
The claim about being the arsenal of vaccines for the world, I think, is a great talking point. It would be great to see put into action, but that can't just be about donation pledges. So I do think when we talk about access and supply of vaccines, we have to look at the overall picture of who's actually getting access.
Humanitarian organizations say 80% of administered doses have gone to rich countries and less than 1% to low-income countries. Data from analytics company Airfinity on vaccine stock in the U.S., European Union, United Kingdom, Canada, and China, countries with the biggest surplus, show an excess of 670 million doses by the end of September, even after those countries offered booster shots to everyone older than 12.
You now have a situation where you have rich countries that have three times as many doses as they actually need. And there's a real risk there that, one, it's leaving out much of the world, and two, we may not be able to use that full supply. We're already seeing rich countries essentially waste millions and millions of doses because they expire before they can be used.
Advocates say the U.S. should be ramping up shipments of donations now and do more to transfer vaccine technology. Airfinity data show vaccine manufacturers produce 1.5 billion doses per month. With more than 6 billion doses already administered globally, the WHO goal of getting the remaining 5 billion doses required to vaccinate the world's population could be achieved in months, as long as wealthy nations can loosen their grip on global supply. Patsy Whitaker-Swara, VOA News at the White House.
Join us online to find out more about this and all the stories you hear on VOA Asia. You'll find us at Twitter, Facebook, and our website, voanews.com. These are among some of the top Asia headlines you'll find right now when you visit voanews.com. North Korea accuses UN Security Council of double standards over missile test. Thai Parliament debates police reform amid latest scandal. UN seeks investigation into killing of Rohingya rights defender. Hong Kong trade union disbands as impact of security law deepens. In media reports, Philippines Duterte says daughter running for president. You'll find expanded coverage of these stories and much more on Facebook at VOA Asia, Instagram, Twitter, and the voanews.com website. I'm Jim Stevenson in Washington. There's much more coming your way on VOA Asia. Right now, a popular Chinese-made phone has a built-in censorship tool that can blacklist search terms on the web. That's according to research by the Lithuanian government. The country is urging owners of the phones to replace them, as we hear more from Henry Ridgewell.
The Lithuanian Ministry of Defense analyzed three popular Chinese-made phones currently sold in Europe, one made by Xiaomi, one by Huawei, and another by OnePlus. They reported finding a censorship tool built in to the Xiaomi Mi 10T 5G phone, which can block certain search terms, including Voice of America.
We clearly saw that all those keywords are politically motivated. That terms such as, Tibet, Taiwan, democracy, U.S., and some companies like yours are mentioned in that list.
Xiaomi is the most popular smartphone brand in Europe. Researchers say although the blacklist function was turned off on the Xiaomi phone sold in Europe, it can be activated remotely. The list of blocked search terms appears to be continually updated, with 449 words or phrases on the blacklist at the time of the research.
If we compare the list which is currently and with a list which we analyzed a couple of months ago when we conducted that research, we see the differences. There are much more words now on the list, and we are adding not only now in Chinese, we are also adding words in Latin.
German security services have also begun a technical examination of the Xiaomi phone. Xiaomi did not respond to VOA requests for comment. The firm said this week it was engaging an independent expert to assess the findings. The Lithuanian researchers found the Huawei P40 5G model collected users' data, including how long they spent using the apps, and stored it on servers outside the European Union, beyond the jurisdiction of the EU's data laws. The analysts say Huawei's official app store, called App Gallery, directed users to apps containing malware. In a statement, Huawei told VOA, Huawei has always adhered to the principle of integrity, abided by the laws and regulations of the countries and regions where it operates. Huawei makes it clear that these apps are from publicly available sources, so the user isn't forced to download an app. Lithuania has told government workers to get rid of the Xiaomi and Huawei phones.
On the basis of national security, really we are looking for ways to protect our state institutions working in national security, and give them a chance to only work with trusted suppliers. When it comes to consumers, we are giving recommendations. So of course, to really, avoid using cloud services, avoid using some applications, Chinese-made applications.
China has yet to comment on the report. Many Western countries, including the United States, have blocked Huawei from involvement in the rollout of 5G mobile networks, fearing that it poses a security risk. Henry Ridgewell for VOA News, London.
Happening now in Asia, amid deadlocked denuclearization talks with the United States, North Korea fired a newly developed anti-aircraft missile late last week. It was the second known missile test within a week. Stay up to date with VOA. You're listening to VOA Asia. It's a brand new week. It's great to have you with us today on VOA Asia. After the Taliban seized power in Afghanistan, the international community stopped funding government agencies. The Taliban now is appealing to China for assistance, and that has some regional experts worried. Shahnaz Nafees has the story.
The Taliban, who took power in Afghanistan by force last month, is facing a financial crisis. With its foreign reserves frozen, international aid ended, the Taliban is looking to China for assistance.
Certainly, they can gain economic assistance and financial aid from China if Afghanistan collaborates and complies with some of the projects that the Chinese have suggested. The downside is that the Chinese will expect greater control and influence over Afghanistan's decision-making, especially regarding insurgents or activists who spread out of Afghanistan and could infiltrate in China.
China is already trying to strengthen its influence in the region. Pakistan recently announced it had held talks with the Taliban to include Afghanistan in the multi-billion dollar China-Pakistan Economic Corridor, or CPEC, which includes a series of infrastructure projects as a part of China's Belt and Road Initiative, aimed at expanding China's political and economic influence to Europe.
China's hope is that by expanding its CPEC projects into Afghanistan, it can help stabilize the economy in Afghanistan and perhaps reduce the political instability that has caused trouble for China, especially in its western provinces.
China is also interested in Afghanistan's rich natural resources, according to experts, and if the Taliban can give that, China will be interested. Afghanistan is thought to have untapped mineral and metal resources worth more than $1 trillion. Shehnaaz Nafees, VOA News, Washington.
Geneticists led by Harvard Medical School's George Church are aiming to bring the woolly mammoth back to life by the year 2027. Some experts are not so sure this is a good idea. Think about some of the movies you may have seen, like Jurassic Park. Karina Berfrigian thaws out the details of this story, narrated by Anna Rice.
Bringing the woolly mammoth back to life and settling the animals in the Arctic tundra. That's the ambitious plan of American scientists from the company Colossal. The person behind this idea is George Church from Harvard Medical School. Together with researchers and scientists, Church aims to use woolly mammoth DNA to make a hybridized Asian elephant that could thrive in Arctic climates. But not everyone feels as optimistic.
You're not necessarily recreating mammoths, but rather you're creating hairier elephants or adding in traits that were once of the mammoths into an elephant.
Getting the woolly mammoth's DNA has been relatively easy, say experts. Paleontologist Tori Herridge says relatively well-preserved remains of mammoths were discovered in Siberia.
But in terms of extinct animals, it is some of the best preserved ancient DNA that we have. So there, because of the fact that Siberia, one of the really special things about Siberia, and you know the Yukon in Canada and Alaska, is it has these deposits called permafrost.
Some scientists hope that woolly mammoths will be able to bring back to life the tundra meadowland and that way protect the soil from erosion. But the bigger question is, can genetically modified mammoths adapt to today's world?
Ecosystems change and change pretty rapidly and have been changing even more rapidly in recent decades in the last century as a result of humans' influence on the planet. I think it's going to be really hard. I worry it may actually be impossible to integrate successfully mammoths back into these ecosystems.
Russian scientist Sergei Zimov, together with his son Nikita, are working on turning the current northern ecosystems into meadowland. In Russia's Yakutia, they created the 20 square kilometer ecosystem where large herbivores live peacefully. The place might just be the perfect spot for woolly mammoths.
So our task is to create meadowland where the mammoth would thrive. Right now, there's no meadowland in the Arctic. All of today's vegetation is not sufficient. Everything grows extremely slowly.
Zimov says George Church's plan to bring back the woolly mammoth won't happen quickly, even if he does succeed, saying it could take decades to establish the first woolly mammoth population. For Karina Bafrajan in Washington, Anna Rice, VOA News.
That's all the time we have for today's program. It comes back to life again tomorrow when you can join us for another edition of VOA Asia. In the meantime, you'll find us online. We're at Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and YouTube. Thanks for joining us, and thanks to our team, Service Chief Diane Gao, Keith Lane, and Chris Cascao. I'm Jim Stevenson. We're in Washington. We hope you have a wonderful day ahead. Be safe. Be well.